My scripture reading is in Matthew 28 and starting at verse 16. And I'm going to be using today the King James Version. Ordinarily I use the NASB, but today the King James Version. So Matthew 28 verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee unto a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these blessed words. And we know that they are words of life. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for each one that you have brought here this morning. And we know that they will be helped by everything that's done and said as we abide in you and as you lead and guide. And in all these things, we give you praise and honor through your Son, Yeshua. And amen. My text is Matthew 28, and starting at the 19th verse. And Jesus said to his followers and disciples, Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Aren't those wonderful words of comfort, wonderful words of promise that He is going to be with us always, no matter what comes or goes, no matter what life brings, no matter if we have afflictions or distress or discomfort or discouragement, we will know that He will always be there with us. He will be us. With us in the highest mountains that we attain to, and He will be with us in the lowest of the valleys that we go through. We're right at the time in the year, and I would like you to remember this and think upon this. Prove it to yourself. We are in the time of the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, of Yeshua, His birth. And I know that's not mainstream Christianity and what they are bringing to the ones that go with them. But just think of it. It can be proved that somewhere in this neighborhood, in the last of September to the early part of October, that's the birth time of Jesus Christ. Is it any coincidence that that's also the time of the festival of trumpets? Those trumpets will blow, getting the attention of everyone. Something is happening. Someone is coming. Something unusual is going on. Do you think that God Almighty could not have had that in His plan? That at the festival of trumpets comes the birth of the Divine One, Jesus Christ, Yeshua of Nazareth? Yes. What about the other fall festival? the festival about the fourth or fifth or so of October. Atonement. Aren't you glad that part of God's plan was to send his only begotten Son so that we would have that way of being restored to him, as we often come well short of what he would have us to be and to do. But yet his plan was that through his only begotten Son, who, as John says in the first of John, was with him before the world was, and yet we know later on came into this world as a little baby, but yet divine. Isn't that wonderful? And came in this time of the year, Jesus' birth. Atonement, the one to come to save the world from their sins. Atonement, giving the atoning sacrifice, the blood sacrifice that had to be for anyone to get forgiveness of their sins. Blood had to be shed. And God's plan was that it was his only begotten Son that was to do this. And at this time, Passover time was that time of Jesus' shedding of his blood. That perfect sacrificial lamb at that time had to be separated. Had to be separated for the sacrifice of the sins of the people and the priest. But we know Jesus was that perfect sacrificial Lamb of God. John called him that. Remember what he called himself? I'm the good shepherd. I care for my sheep. They look to me for their help. I lay down my life for them. God's plan is just unbelievable. With trumpets ushering in the coming of Jesus at his birth, perhaps, don't you think, it's all logical that when Jesus comes back to this earth, what time of the year do you think it might be? I think this time of the year. I think at the time of the blowing of the trumpets, the announcement, get ready, be on guard, be alert. Get things right. Get it together. Something is about to happen. Yeah, I look for the coming of Jesus to be in this time of the year. But me or no one else, including Yeshua, knows the day or the hour. Only Yahweh, only the Father knows that. The Word tells you that. If you hadn't read it, you need to read it. The relationship between the Father and the Son is unbelievable. It's miraculous. It's supernatural. But I thank God that if you love Him and you love the truth, that somehow, some way, sometime, if you abide in Him, that truth will come. It may take a while. You may not see it. You may have to grow. You may have to mature. But these truths are there. The fault of not seeing the truths is us. It's not the Word. It's not the Father, it's not the Son. Any fault is ours. We don't understand. We can't put it together. It hasn't been revealed to us. We haven't been sincere enough. We hadn't been committed enough. We hadn't been dedicated enough for God to bless us with His Holy Spirit bringing these truths to us. But He has it for us. He wants us to have it. It's ours. But we need to be right with Him. We need to be open enough. We need to have that circumcision of the heart. Not a hard heart, but one that is open to the new things that God has for us and the truths that He wants to bring to us. My message to you today is entitled, Teachers, One and All. And so are you. And you know that teaching is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Teachers. And it's my firm belief that each and every one of you are teachers. If you're God's, if you claim God and God claims you as His child, then He has given you at least some portion of the gift of teaching. And why do we know this? Because His Son, Yeshua, said this. One of the last things that He said before He went back to His Father in heaven. Yeshua went back to Yahweh. And He said to His disciples and His followers, Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always unto the end of the world. Boy, I love that. I love to know that in my darkest hour, and in my time of worst troubles or afflictions, problems, that all I have to do is go to Him. Go to Him for my help and my deliverance. And His promises to be there for me. And He'll be there for you. All of us. Evidently, logically, all of us have a portion of the gift of God from and through His Holy Spirit of teaching. How can you go into the world and make disciples unless you know His Word and you're able to bring at least something of His Word to others that you come in contact with? That's why we are supposed to study His Word. Take it to heart. Make sure that you are sincere in your life and in your living with Yahweh God. He wants nothing else and will accept nothing less. If you read much of the Bible, you will find out very quickly God is precise, specific in each and every little detail. In anything that He puts His hand to. You have to just get a little bit into the Bible. And you'll see that God wants things done right. He won't accept second best. He won't accept anything that isn't your best. He requires your best. He deserves your best. He's the one that brought you here. He's the one that put you in this world. And he put you in this world for a purpose. He gave you gifts that no one else could have. He gave you a way of expressing yourself that no one else has. Because you and only you can reach certain people for him. You, only you, have the right way of expressing yourself that will draw others to him. And that's what he wants us to do as part of his teaching. Go into the world. Go into your life. Live your life. And as you live your life, then open yourself to others. To others that he will bring to you. And try to be of help to them. Try to be of service to them. Two most important things in all of the Bible is to love God with all of your heart and mind and soul and strength. And to love your neighbor and look out for your neighbor. Whatever is important to your neighbor, let it be important to you. If you can be of service to your neighbor, of help, and whatever, then that's what we're supposed to do. Be respectful of your neighbor. Be respectful of God Almighty. He expects it. He deserves it. He wants it. Let's all know that we do have abilities to teach, to help bring others to God. And you say, what are some of these teaching points that I need to have? What is some of the things I need to know? We learn it by studying his word. We learn it by coming to church, listening to each other. Because that's why we're here, to try to be of help to each other and to love and give the honor and respect due to Almighty God. We're to be of help to each other. And first is the teaching of divine ownership. In Psalms 24 and 1, it says, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that are in it." God is over all. He brought all into existence. He sustains it by his word. And it all belongs to him. If we have anything, it's only because he has entrusted it in our care for whatever very temporary time that it is that each one of us has on this earth. We're not going to take it with us, these materialistic things. The teaching of divine ownership, it all belongs to him. What? Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? Your body is not to be your own. It's the temple of the Holy Ghost. That's why the Bible lets us know that we're supposed to die out to our fleshly desires, to things that God would not have us do. We're to die out to those things. We're to become less like our natural selves and more like our Heavenly Father. As we live our life each day, we become more like him. That was 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. In 1 Corinthians 10 and 31, we read, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." He deserves all the glory because He provides it all. Everything you have and your highest ability is only due to His love for you. Only through Him do you attain that. After the teaching of divine ownership, how about the teaching of our Savior's lordship? In Matthew 28 and 18, we read, and this is Jesus speaking, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Well, what does that mean? All power from who? All power from the one that all power comes from. All power of Yahweh God is given unto and was given to Yeshua His Son. They are in perfect harmony, perfect agreement. That's why the Bible says in certain places, "My Father and I are one." It's agreement. It's unity. It's harmony. You can't separate them in the things that really matter. Yeshua is the risen and glorified Lord that was prophesied in the Old Testament as the one who is to come to take away the sins of the world and at its proper time to restore all things. Yeshua is Lord over all and of all. Our lives are to be obedient to His words and to His way. That's what Yahweh wants. He wants us to recognize and respect Him, to love Him unreservedly, and to be willing to keep His laws and His commandments and His statutes. And if we do, there is no blessing in this world or the one beyond that will be withheld from us. That is so clear in the Bible. God wants to bless you. It's His purpose and intent to bless you. But He wants you to be right with Him. We represent and are to proclaim Yeshua's lordship. All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. All power, no matter where, is under me, has been given to me. Yeshua says. Thirdly, the teaching of spiritual debtorship. And Paul says in Romans 1 and 14, "I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise." And each of us is personally indebted to Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ, the Yeshua of Nazareth, paid the debt for all of us, each one of us individually, personally. Jesus paid the price. He said, I'm the sheep that lays down my life. Ours should be the love of the forgiven. And ours should also be a gratitude for His blood sacrifice. Without it, we don't get forgiveness of our sins. There has to be the shedding of blood for sin to be forgiven. And it was God's plan that His only begotten Son be the one to pay that perfect sacrifice. No other human being could satisfy that requirement. Only Jesus Christ was perfect. He was the only perfect human being. He was the perfect sacrificial Lamb of God, separated out by Yahweh. For Him to die on that cross for us. And so we are told by Yeshua to go into all the world and teach. Tell what you know. Tell what you've read. And tell what you believe in your heart is right. Tell of the better way to live your life. Tell of Jesus' laws and statutes and commands and His way for mankind. It's a debt that is inescapable, that we have, that Jesus paid the price, satisfied the debt. No substitute is acceptable. And we know that no matter how long time goes on, that perfect sacrificial Lamb of God, the blood being shed, is what allows all humans to be restored in good standing to Him. As they accept His gift of salvation and the sacrifice of His only Son shedding His blood, and our belief that God forgives our sins as we call on Him and ask Him to do. And as we recognize that we have sinned and come short of what He really wants for us and the type of person, the kind of person that He wants us to be. How about the teaching of Christian service? You know, Jesus in His words makes it clear that He entrusts the teaching of the gospel, the bringing of the good news of the kingdom to come. He entrusts that to His followers, to His disciples. He's placed the redemptive work in our hearts and hands. And this is obviously personal. It's also forever. And it's also urgent that our lives and our times and our talents and our testimonies and our treasures should all be invested in a manner that will help us to be faithful to the trust that Yeshua gave to each one of us. Go ye into all the world and teach. Teachers, one and all, you are. You may not want to be. You may wish it was not that way, because you may not think of yourself as a teacher, and you may tell yourself, I really don't feel comfortable bringing this to others. But obviously, God's plan, both Yahweh and Yeshua, in agreement and in harmony, has the plan of bringing the Word through you to reach the ones that they are calling to be a son or daughter of Almighty God. Isn't that wonderful that God thought you important enough that He places inside you the ability to reach some other person that only you can do? It's amazing how each one of us has been given a gift of teaching, and it's so many of us, and yet so few, that yet only us, only personally us, could reach that one person. Perhaps just one, perhaps many. But only we have that personality, that way of expression. That thing that we have lived the life that we would have only the words that someone else would react to. Otherwise, they might be repelled by the other person. But yet you and your experience and your life and your failures and your successes and everything about you is the reason that only you could reach that person. We need to give that a lot of thought. And lastly, the teaching of God's great plan. That Yeshua, God's only Son, the one perfect sacrifice, and our only Savior. That Yeshua came into the world. That the world might be saved from sin. Or let's put it more specifically, the ones in the world that Yahweh wants and has called and that does respond to Yeshua and the words of God that's in this Holy Bible. All that is called do not come. God placed the decision-making ability in each one of us, and that is wonderful and unique. He saw fit to place the decision-making ability in the angels of heaven, and one-third of them didn't choose to go along with Him. They choose to go along with the devil. Isn't that something? But just like He did in heaven, He did with us on this earth. Gave us that decision-making ability. We decide if we want God or we don't want God. If we believe this is the Word of God or we believe it's just another book that is written by a man or men and a history. A record. God give us that decision-making ability. That He gave His Son that the world might be saved. That we decide that Yeshua died so that the world might be saved. And that Yeshua lives eternally. Forever to offer to a needy world the gift of salvation. God has many gifts for His children today. He has the gift of salvation, and that's right there at the top of the list. He has the gift of the Holy Spirit. He has the gift of eternal life. Jesus Christ, Yeshua said, He that believeth in me and holds on to the end shall never taste death. Do you believe this? That's what Yeshua said to anyone who would read that. Anyone who would hear those words. Through Yeshua and the sacrifice that he made, we have life eternally. We will never die. That death that separates us from God, that's the real death, is to know you're living your life and there's going to come a point in the future in which it would be like you never existed. That's not too good, is it? I wouldn't want that to be like I never even was. But those that go to hell, those that reject Yahweh and Yeshua, that's how it'll be. The wages of sin is death. And death ultimately means separation forever from God Almighty. Each of us should respond to Yeshua's call to go and teach. And as you live your life, do the things that you do. That's what he's talking about. As you go into the world, live your life. He brings people into your life. Be open. Be willing to tell them the good news, the things that you found to be true, and how God is blessing you and the things that he is doing for you. Be willing to share that with them. There's a better way to live your life. There's a way to live your life in which death won't be for you like it is others that knows not God. But you will live eternally and forever with him in his kingdom. In, as he expresses it, in the mansions that he's preparing for you now. In conclusion, I would like to go, and I would like you to give strong consideration. Mark it in your Bibles. Read it as many times as you can throughout the rest of your life until you draw your last breath. Be holding on to Yahweh and Yeshua's hand, because you will be in the kingdom of God. You are and will forever be a child of God. You will be in God's family. And now you can know it as you make up your mind that there never will be a point that you will not be holding on to the hand of God. And as you make up this in your mind, then you can be assured you are a child of God. You are his. He is yours. It's settled. It's done. You're going to live eternally with him. You're going to be the recipient of all of the promises that he has ever made for his people. And you are one of his family and one of his people. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. And there's maybe some other important things in the Bible. I know that there is. I find them all the time. And as somebody said earlier, you know, the more you read the Bible, the more something stands out to you. The last time you read it, it's as if you have never read it before, because God brings thoughts and understanding to you that you never had before, even though you read that same verse No telling how many times before. But God and His Holy Spirit had something special for you that last time you read it. 1 Corinthians 15 and 20. Let's look at that together. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. Christ was the first one to undergo that change from the natural to the spiritual, to take on that spiritual body. You've got a fleshly body. You can see, you can feel, you can touch. There is a spiritual body, and it's going to be the same way. You can see it, feel it, touch it. It exists. And Christ was the first fruit, the first one undergone that change. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. Talking about his next coming, the second coming of Christ. Then cometh the end. Now listen, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. Remember the verse that we read earlier? All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. This is talking about that. For he must reign, speaking of Christ, Yeshua, till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted which did put all things under him. You see what that's saying? Yahweh gave all authority and power in heaven and earth to his only begotten Son, the perfect sacrificial lamb, Yeshua. But Yahweh is accepted, as these words explain, as being under Yeshua. But is manifest that he is accepted which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Isn't that not one of the most wonderful things you've ever heard? All power and authority being under Yeshua, given to him by Yahweh, the Father. And then at the end, after all things have been done and satisfied on the plan of God, then all the authority is going to go from Yeshua back to Yahweh. That God may be all in all. Perfect harmony. Perfect unity. Yahweh God. Yeshua the Son. His whole and complete family. Including you and I. That's wonderful. Let's all stand to our feet. And I'd like for us to read the blessing of God to us. And our blessing to each other. Let's stand and let's read this together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Amen.